Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Welcome to the Royal Bluettes, where it's me, my wife, my kids, my grandkids can be on at any time. We got several different subjects tonight that my kids have asked to talk about. So first of all, I want to thank Elder Oliver for this platform at Chaos Blog Talk Radio, a true gentleman, a true man of God. I want to thank God for my wife and my kids, my grandkids. I want to thank God for just life in general. Amen. So tonight we have three subjects. So what I do during the week, I ask my kids, my wife, you know, what do y'all want to talk about? What subject you want to talk about? And they come up with many. But before I read any subject, I want to read this scripture first. And then I have my wife pray us in. And then we'll go from there. But again, welcome to this episode. I appreciate each and every one of you that are listening. And may God continue to bless you. So, I'm going to read this scripture from 1 Corinthians. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 13. And then I'll read one of our subjects. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to beat it, to bear it. Let me read that again. There have no temptation taken you, but such as common to man, which you're familiar with. For God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. You're able to get out of it. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So God has plans for our lives that are already in place. And he has given us an escape in every situation. We have to have our mind straight, our mind on him, and use the abilities that he has given us before we were even born. To not be tempted to where we couldn't get out of it. He's already made an escape. And when we decide to not obey the word of God and go into those temptations, it's a mess and it becomes a struggle. So our first subject tonight, and this came from my kids, what does struggle mean to you? And that's what I want to talk about for the first 20, 25 minutes. What does struggle mean to you? We have different levels of struggle. We have each person has a different aspect of struggle where it may struggle one but not the other. So what does struggle mean to you? So at this time, I'm going to ask my wife to pray us in, if you will, sweetie.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord God,
for our private struggles and our hidden fears, Lord God. I just want to say thank you right now, Lord God, for revealing those to us on tonight, Lord God, each and every one of us, Lord God. Let us shed light on us, Lord God, on it, Lord God, whatever it may be, Lord God, and help everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord God, look for the exit sign that you have put in front of us, Lord God, when we get in tight situations that we shouldn't be in, even if we put ourselves in the situations, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you, and I praise you, Lord God. Help our, my family to speak life and through your word, through our life experiences that can help them see you, one of our situations, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you for this platform again. And just help us to just be transparent and for everybody to just get an understanding and leave with an understanding that there is an exercise. We just have to look for it in our struggles, Lord God. And I just say thank you in advance. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. So another point also about my family is we used to keep things to ourselves within the family, not mature enough to let people know things or certain things, but we have come to a point in our lives that our struggles or our situations or issues and how we may have came through them can help somebody else. So we're not afraid to speak on our lives at this point to try to help somebody else. And what you're going to hear is real talk, as every episode goes, real talk. And I'm sure there are other families out there that, may want to hide something, don't want to be embarrassed or, you know, something on that level. But believe me, people can learn from your experiences and how you came through, or even if you're still struggling and where you're at in the struggle. So our subject, what does struggle mean to you? And I want to have an open floor right here, whoever wants to jump on that at this moment.
Hey, it's Asha, a.k.a. the baby girl, a.k.a. Asha Stein. I would like to say about struggle, I believe struggle is a mindset. It's all about the way you think. Struggle is a mindset to me. I would replace the word struggle with going through a phase where God either wants you to get something out of or let something go. Struggle is a harsh word, I would say. Like, struggle means you're down and you don't got it and you're not hoping for nothing. You know what I'm saying? But you gotta look at the brighter side of the word struggle. You can, instead of struggle, you can say, I'm going through not even going through a lot, but I'm in a growing stage. God is putting me through some tests and trials. So, and it's just depending on, if you make it on the other side. So it's not struggling. That's a mindset. It's just a word. Yeah.
That's good. I think the key phrase I got out of that was growing stage. And I think there's a lot of people that don't recognize the stages in their life. At your age, you are growing, but you can't let the pains of growing interrupt your total life. And I'm glad you mentioned it that way. So, when I was a teenager, I'm not going to go into myself this year, but I fully understand what you're saying. If you know what stage you're in, things are going to happen to test you. Things are going to happen that you can learn from for the next level. Great comment. Anybody else?
And just to add a little bit to that, I always go off of two quotes. The less I complain, the more I'll gain, and there's a reason for every season.
Uh-huh. Okay, you got a little wisdom in your teenage years. A little wisdom. Just stay with it. I like that. That's foundational. Anybody else?
Oh, any other grandkids?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tuffy.
I would just say struggle is, look at it from a couple of points of view. Like more so, like it could be like a struggle with keeping up with goals or struggle keeping up a workout routine. It could be like simple things too. It doesn't have to be so deep. So those are like some struggles that I'm working on right now as far as staying busy, staying proactive, and keeping my body healthy.
Okay. Let me do a quick interruption right quick. Heather Oliver, can you put, I think there's a number 20, I think it's 2153. My youngest son, can you unmute him, please? Yeah, that's good,
hello.
Tough.
Hello?
That's good, Tough. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
You guys can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, he kind of hit where I was going to, but yeah, struggle is, I feel like the only way to struggle is if you have some type of thing. I didn't it's sort of a mindset in order to have a struggle all to have yes that I'm trying to get find the words to say it, but it's split between goals and a mindset because if you're in, I'll just give an example. Say if you only way to have goal, like say if you're in school and you want to get an 80 or a 90 in your class, it's going to be more of a struggle to do that, do you see what I'm saying, than to just sit there and do whatever you want to do. You see what I'm saying? So you have to have some type of focus and some type of goal or some type of direction in order to have struggle. So that's sort of my analogy or the way I look at that word.
So you're saying, and I kind of understand that, so you're saying if you don't have no goals, if you don't have nothing you're aiming for, then you pretty much ain't going to have any struggles, correct?
No, but struggle is good because that means you're getting somewhere. That means you're trying to get somewhere. That means there's some type of effort. When you're doing wrong, doing bad, there is no struggle because the world kind of flows with you when you're doing that type of stuff. You see what I'm saying? So the struggle comes from kind of – the struggle is for more of the from the good side. You see what I'm saying? So people that tend to struggle are people that's working jobs, that are doing for their families, stuff like that. So that's how I look at struggle. But struggle isn't always – it's not always like – bad and pain and stuff like that, what everybody thinks it is. Like, it's just like, yeah, like a goal.
That's good. So you can, from that, you can say if you never have no issues, if you never have no problems, and your life is just good, or you think it's good, that means you're not bumping into the devil on no avenue or road to take. And matter of fact, you're
exactly.
The devil going the same direction.
Exactly.
So when you set goals and opportunities you want to meet or gain or succeed in, that's good. And the struggle come along, meaning the devil want to hold you back and create situations in your life, correct?
Correct.
That's good.
I've been in plenty of situations where time is just rolling. Time is just going by and stuff like that. And, but once you, like I said, once you start looking to God and you get on that path, then a lot of things that, you don't like or whatever the case may be, a lot of stuff will happen. But then that same week, that same day, that same all of that, but it's just like being able to identify it. That's it.
Okay. All right, so mute your phone when you get done because you got a little background noise, okay?
Okay.
All right, anybody else? Any of my grandkids on?
I guess not.
Okay, you got anything, Tink, my beautiful wife?
You know, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench. First of all, the comment that you made coming in, I've always been transparent. So, yeah, I've always shared with people on things that we go through. But anyway, struggle. Whatever I go through or whatever, I've always been a fighter and I've always been a person. I'm not going to stay in the struggle. I'm going to find a way out. I always look for the exercise. And we have to have the mindset, the struggle is not like, it's beneficial. It's to make you strong. It's every struggle that I've been in, I've gained more strength out of each struggle. So struggle is not bad. Struggle makes you appreciate the next level. So struggle, go through it, grow through it. Just don't get stuck in the struggle to where you stuck or you give up. Struggle is putting up a fight to make sure you do come out. Because some people get stuck in the struggle because they made the struggle, a part of them. The struggle is not just there just to make you stronger. That's all it is for. Just use this as an example. Struggle. If you and somebody else is struggling, I'm talking about physically. This is the way I look at it. I'm going to always be the stronger person whoever I'm wrestling or I would like to think I am anyway. Going in, then you can look at it spiritual. If you have God on your side, you're going to win. You don't have to doubt. Me going in physically wrestling with somebody, I can go in thinking, having the mindset that I'm a win, but not knowing if I'm a win, even if the person is bigger than me or smaller than me. But even if the person is bigger than you, or the situation is bigger than you, with God on your side, you're going to win every single time. That's why I come on top on every struggle that I'm in. I don't stay there long. I'm not there long because I already know the end result. I'm going to win. A struggle is putting up a fight. Now I don't have to fight Flea anymore. God is fighting my battles, as Sister Tober spoke on Sunday. The battle is not mine no more. I don't have to physically fight or put up a fight anymore. When you put everything in God's hand, and me and Vanessa were just talking about this the other day, how I can go through things and just go through it, and it's like, I don't dwell in whatever the situation is at that time. I can't get stuck in situations because situations will overwhelm you. And you have the situations that our family been in back to back to back to back. If we would have stayed there, we wouldn't be where we are right now. We would still be stuck in, oh, woe is me. This happened. Oh, this happened. We can't stay there. And I believe that's why God took our family through so many situations back to back to back to show the world how to come through them. You don't have to. And I always say this, and I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to let somebody else speak. Death and money will show and bring out what's in you. If you struggling or still hadn't been delivered from some things, either a lot of money or death or no money is going to bring out what's in you.
All right, so what about people that don't have faith that are struggling and have, like Pastor, my youngest son said, have goals and opportunities that they're seeking and have a plan in place to be at a certain place and time with their business or their schooling or their life or whatever. What about people that don't have God in their life and they run through struggles? And how do they come out of it? Because you stated, you know you're going to win, but how do people win that don't have God in their life or have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior yet?
You want me to answer that or somebody else?
Yeah, I want you to answer anybody else that wants to also.
Well, I would offer Christ to them tonight. Romans 10:9-10.
Well, not like that.
Okay.
I mean, just people that are. Hold on. So people that are that have not accepted Jesus as their Savior yet, and you're not around. I'm talking about people in general, not the people you come in contact with. How do they, you know? They don't have anything to fall back on as far as God, but how do normal people get through their struggles and can be as confident as you?
Okay, say you. I use my son for an example. He did 6 years in the penitentiary, 5.5 years to say, Lord, if you're real, let me get out of this prison. And what, the next week, God let him out? Call on him.
So his growing up, where he in the church with us, so he got to a moment in his life where, and God will do that to us, where you have nowhere else to turn, but his foundation is the church and God. So what about somebody that don't have that? I can speak on it. I'll speak on it right now. So before I knew God, before I knew God and I had my struggles, I didn't know they were struggles. I just thought I needed to think of a better way care of a situation. I was determined to beat the situation I came across or approached itself to me. I just had that mindset growing up, you know, in South Central LA that you cannot be conquered. You can't come across as weak, you know. So I didn't let it bother me. Even if I failed in the situation, I still carried on. And, woke up the next day to do something else or take care of it. So my question was, how do somebody without faith, somebody that doesn't know Jesus and they have struggles and situations, and how do they get through it? As for me, I just had a determined mind to conquer, to climb over the wall that I faced, you know. And then later on in life, I understand now that I can conquer anything through Jesus Christ, but I didn't know at that time, you know. So I think it's the build of a person, the makeup of a person, to have a determined mind that whatever situation in life that brings, you know, life brings to them, that they can, you know. And we know of people that have had mental breakdowns because of situations in life, right, without knowing Christ or whatever. Even Christians have mental breakdowns. So we, you know, we have to get to a point in our life where whatever situation I'm in, you know, I know therewith to be content. on God's side are knowing Jesus at that point. But go ahead, Nan. Did you want to comment? Did we lose Vanessa?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sweetie.
Oh, I just chimed in. I'm listening. I just got in. Hi. Thanks. Good evening. I said I just got here. I said good evening. I didn't say anything. I was just listening.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome. You know, so our first subject tonight, what does struggle mean to
Hello?
You? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to say, like, I agree with what you said, Dad. Like, I mean, anybody can have a little faith. I mean, I wouldn't, like, how you said, like, not everybody knows about God or even knows the name Jesus. But, like, I wouldn't, they would call faith another thing, I guess, but, like, just having hope or, you know, getting up every day, having expectations and knowing what you want to do in life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. That's what Pastor, my middle son, talked about earlier. You know, if you got goals, if you got plans, that's when you can have situations because you got something you're trying to take care of. You got something you're trying to do. You're looking forward to something, and situations come up. You know, how do you handle it? You know, because you know everybody's not going to, you know, right off succeed in their plans or expectations of their life or things they're trying to do, you know, through business or whatever. Yeah, Pastor mentioned that earlier, you know. So if you got goals and things you're trying to do and take care of, you know, you're going to have some situations. So how, and in a few more minutes, we're going to ask, how do we handle that? But our first topic is, what does struggle mean to you? What does struggle mean to you? And I think Pasa hit it on the head. You know, struggle can occur when you got goals and situations you're trying to take care of, you know. Floor is open. All right. So let's go to our... Let's go to our next subject. Speaking along the same lines, what are some examples of struggles you have had? What are some examples of struggles you have or have had? The floor is open.
I've had struggles in the past identifying with my a couple things as far as a gift, as far as trying to figure out why I didn't go as far as I should have gone in a couple of things growing up. Those were some of my struggles. Figuring those things out. I think once I figured those struggles out, a lot of things got easier. So that's what I got.
You know, it makes a lot of sense to still think calmly through situations when they occur. Keep a mindset of who you are and whose you are, and come out of it calmly. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Anybody else? What are some examples of struggles you have?
Yes, I have one. I used to struggle with basically finding love in the wrong places. Finding love in the wrong places, as in, like, I've always had a close relationship with God. It hasn't been as close as it is now. It's crazy. But I've always known God, known Jesus, you know, growing up in the church. But I was more of an outsized seeker, if that makes sense. I would, you know, try relationships, but that wouldn't work, you know, from, you know, drugs, alcohol, whatever, like just searching for love in the wrong places. But, and then after I got sick, it got even worse. That's when, you know, I lost all of my friends, literally all of them. And, you know, I was alone, but I wasn't alone. That's what I had thought. But that's when I grew my relationship with God. And, yeah, so I struggled with love, but not knowing where the start of love starts. Yeah.
That's good. You'd be amazed how many people have that same situation and are still in that situation, haven't come out. I thank God for your progress. I thank God for how you overcame, and I thank God, even through your situation when you got sick, you know, you was all you was doing was talking about God. And that was crazy. And it didn't even make sense that what was going on in your brain with that illness, you were still shouting about God. And that just lets you know your foundation was already set. You know, so I don't think that could ever have been wrote to go that way. You know, because a lot of people, when they have, you know, brain issues or mind issues or situations that are going on inside of their body with their head, the last thing you're going to hear is about God. But, oh, my God, it seems as though you were just calling out on God because you needed help. You know, me and Ricky, you know, your mom and dad, we couldn't see it at first. And it was getting annoying. It was getting very, very annoying that you was calling out on God so much. You was clapping your hands so much. You was praising God so much. And to think of it now, you know, it just blows my mind that I can 90% say that you was asking God for help at that time, at your lowest point in the illness that you had. And that's crazy. That is crazy. See,
okay,
so
one
so
more
what
thing just
you,
to add. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
I have little videos of me right before I went to the hospital. I have this video of me on my knees, like it was like 11 at night, just listening to I think it was Smokey Northfield, just praising God, and I was even telling my social media before I got sick, not even knowing I was sick, just like y'all better get right, and you're like I was just ministering, not knowing, like I was. That's amazing to hear that. I was crying out for God to help me. Like, that's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can talk about that all night. I don't want to take time away from anybody, but it's, I was so messed up at that time, you know, because I worry about each and every one of my kids. I was so messed up at that time. I just wanted things to be back to normal. But your outreach or your crying out was totally about God, nothing else, totally about God. So what's and people have a saying, and especially in church, where what's in you is going to come out. And when you didn't know no better because of your illness, God reaching out to God came out of you. And everybody can't say that. Even when, like we're talking about situations. Tonight, we're talking about struggles tonight. When you went through your struggle, you called out for God. Who does that? You know, how many people do that? How many people can say they did that or have a witness to them doing that? So me and your mama are a witness to you doing that. And it messed us up. It messed me up. But when I think about it, I mean that's crazy. That's anybody else got anything?
Hold on. Her song was For Your Glory. I will do anything to be where you are. Is that how it goes? I want to be where you are. It was by Tasha Cobb. She kept singing that over and over and over. I want to be where you are, for your glory. by Tasha Cobbs. She kept singing that over and over and over. But anybody else? Go ahead.
Yeah.
What was the question?
What are your struggles? Or what were your struggles? What are your struggles?
What are some examples of struggles you have?
Okay. What I struggle with, and I'm just now coming out of it, I don't feel like I'm still where I want to be, but people pleasing. Growing up, I just kind of had this thing of just wanting to please people around me, whether it was family, really just that, not really friends and stuff, but like I just have a problem with people pleasing and saying yes to a lot of things and allowing a lot of things in my life. And I'm just now coming out of that with just knowing, just putting up boundaries and knowing my self-worth and practicing self-love. And, so that's the struggle. I can't really, like I said, I'm coming out of it, trying to, so I can't really speak much on it, but that's a struggle that I have, and I've had, like, really my whole life. It does some good, in a way, a bittersweet way, just because it put me in a good place, I guess, as far as, like, goals, I guess you could say, goals-wise or mentality-wise, morals and things of that nature, it put me at a high standard for myself because I was a people pleaser. So it's a bittersweet relationship I kind of have with it. And I'm now trying to learn a healthier way to have goals and set standards for myself instead of it revolving around what somebody else may think is what I truly want to do. So, now that I'm just growing up, I'm just learning, just kind of like seeing things for what they are and looking from a different lens and being grateful for the things I've been through and just seeing how it benefited me and how I can change it and make it healthier. So, that's the struggle that I have is people pleasing, and I'm trying to, like, just get better with that. And I am grateful for, like, my mom. Both of my parents pay attention to us, most definitely. And my mom, she can kind of sense when she asks me to do something and I don't want to. And she knows when I'm saying yes just because. And she'll be like, Nani, practice with me. Like, practice saying no with me. Like, so I'm grateful for that because that does help me say no when I don't want to do things or, stuff like that. Because I have a problem with saying yes and allowing certain things in my life for so long, all off of, just I love them and they, just things like that. And I don't want to hurt their feelings, but I'm hurt. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I'm just working on people pleasing.
Hey, man. Well, you'll learn. It'll come with time, I promise you. Once you get really tired of just, I can't do everything for everybody. Don't wait too late. Just don't wait too late. And that's why I said, practice with me. Tell me no sometimes. You don't always have to do what I ask you to do just because I'm your mom. If you don't feel like doing it, just say no. I'm on my way to the gym. But anyway, good point. And I love it. I love to see the growth of you telling me no. I love to see that. Because you don't always have to say yes.
But Rick, can't nobody, if somebody say no to you, it's a hurricane going to happen.
But it's
especially
not.
With my
ask your kids. I advise them to tell me no, like she just said. I tell them to tell me no. If you really don't feel like doing it, just tell me no. Do I not tell you that?
No, I'm a witness to that. She doesn't do that anymore, Dad. Like I remember, what did you ask me to do, Mom? Vanessa, we was on the phone. I think you asked me to come up to the building or something. But I was really tired, and I worked the other day. I was like, okay, because I was like, because, Mom, I don't want to make it hard on you. She was like, no, tell me no.
Right, because a lot of times I want to hear the no. Because some things I know that you guys are not don't have the energy that I have. I know that. But I'm pushing you guys to use more energy that you're using. But I know you guys are exhausted. By noon, it's like, Mom, we just went all over the United States. But I know you guys don't have, you know, I already know that. That's why I keep telling you guys, tell me when you're tired. Because I'm not going to get tired until I go home. Okay, and then I'm still not tired because I'm still doing stuff around the house. But I know that everybody don't have the energy. That's why I have to tell you guys, let me know when it's too much for you guys.
So it seems that my wife has gotten up from because when the kids didn't do what she asked them to do, be where she said they should be to handle business, you know, part of her business because they work for her. I have to hear it at home, you know, yoke, and they become my kids and not hers anymore.
There's a difference between business and her just saying, can you come do this or do that? And it's also a difference between when we were kids and now that we're adults. So, yes, if we're children and we didn't have this luxury of, Mommy, no, I'm not, who are you talking to? You know what I'm saying? But we're young adults and
pretty
adults
much.
Now. So it's like, you know what I'm saying, where it's a difference now, especially, but work-wise, no, she don't just give us this leisure to say, hey, Mommy, I don't want to do pickups today. What? No. But as far as just doing stuff, yeah, she does allow us to say no to just regular day-to-day stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but the side y'all don't know, and I'm telling y'all now because y'all are doing better now, I had to hear all that.
We heard it. You know. You were here in the second half.
I had to hear all that. Yeah, I mean, I had to hear all that. So she grew, you know, speaking to me and probably hearing her own stuff. You know what? I need to change. I can't go crazy when my kids say no, you know. But anyway, I'm glad y'all better now. I really, really do. So, all right, let me read the scripture right quick. So we're talking about our first subject was, what does struggle mean to you? Our second subject was, what are some examples of struggles you have? But let me read the scripture right quick. That's going to make a little sense out of the conversation we just had. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 8, where it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Prosecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now we're on the side of where we believe in Jesus Christ. Now we're on the side of believing in the Word of God. We're away from just being a person in the world and having issues and struggles and situations where we had nothing to lean on. And earlier my wife mentioned about struggle builds faith. It builds you. With God on your side, you will win every time. And that's a different type of accepting the struggle. It's a different type of going through. That when you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our strength, you believe in the word of God, that he will protect you and care for you. Now we're on the other side of struggles. We're on the other side of situations in our life where we got something to lean on versus just ourselves and our own wisdom to try to lean on in the world. So it's now I have a different perspective on when situations happen that I can stand still and think and try to make the right decisions in the situation or the struggle versus just a natural reaction without no foundation of anything to stand on but myself. Because we as ourselves, we're nothing. But with Jesus Christ, we're all that we can be. So right now we have – and it's also another subject that my youngest son brought up that we can go into right quick. We got a few more minutes. We got 15 more minutes, but we can go into it. And we were talking about this. We got a family thread that we talk on, you know, all day long, me and my family. And I think the subject came up, do you see the glass half empty or the glass half full? And like in our cars, I see mine half empty at the half mark. I don't go all the way to empty. I just see it half empty, and I fill it back up when I see it half empty. So my way of saying it, my car is half empty, and that's the way I see it. And I think Pastor agreed with me, and I think Vanessa, my middle daughter, had a different explanation on it. And what was that, Nun?
I think that was Asha. Asha, that was Asha talking. Asha, what was your perspective on half full?
I was half full and half empty. I would say that my cup is half full because I'm already full. I'm just reaching for the other half, you know what I'm saying? By half empty, that means that you're already empty halfway. And you're, like, you're already, what you want, like, you're half empty, so you want the other half of emptiness? Like, you're going to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, no.
Right. I think Pasa blew me away with his explanation of it.
Right. When she explains it like that, I can see what she's saying, though. Like, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but the way she's looking at it, I can see what she means. Like, she just doesn't even want to acknowledge the empty part because she's not looking that way. So I see what she's getting at. So it's kind
of
like...
But what was your explanation of it?
Who, mine?
Yeah, what you said yesterday in our family thread.
Oh, no. I think mine was something along the lines of really like the sky's the limit. So it's like there is no full. There is no I don't know. I look at it as my glass is always, it's half empty, like, because I can't say I'm half full because I don't know anything what full feels like. Like, when it comes to this life, when it comes to, receiving, and when it comes to blessing, when it comes to anything in life that you can't put a full, or you can't put a capsule, or you can't put a lid on it. So only thing we know is half empty. That's the only thing that has a line on it. Because half empty, after it's half empty, I'm trying to go back. I have to go up. I can't go past half empty because it's going to be harder to get back up. Do you see what I'm saying? So the line is, the bottom is half empty.
And so...
If you treat your life like this, then you'll always be at a normal stage, or always at a cushion stage, or always at a comfortable, but you don't worry, have to always worry about being completely on E and running out of gas. You know what I'm saying?
So why I mentioned that in our family thread was I'm half empty, meaning I need to seek more. I need to get more, you know, I need to reach out more, right? Because when you put your state of mind at half, half full, you know, you still kind of feeling like you got it, or you still stable, or you still got a little bit left in the tank of life. But when you say half empty, where you don't want it, and I've been to a place in my life where I was totally empty, I don't want to get that close again. So when I get to the halfway mark on my car or in life, I'm seeking to get refilled. And I think, Pastor, you mentioned yesterday, we could never be fully full because the sky is the limit. And that blew me away yesterday, because we could never get fully full, but we can always go forward to try to feel what we can, or let God put in us what he needs to put in us. But the sky is the limit. And life, yeah. Oh, man. It was a deep little testing conversation we had in our family thread yesterday, but that was mentioned by Fossil. So, yeah, I see things half empty.
If you thought you was full 10 or 15 years ago and you stayed what you was doing the way you was at, then the same thing like with my mom, if she was
felt like she was full 10 years ago, then you see where it should be. You see what I'm saying? So,
I see both sides are so powerful, though. Like, even the side Asha's at, of if you're in a place, you were in a place where you were empty, me telling myself I'm halfway full is encouragement, though. Like, it's more of like a encouragement and more of like a joy. Like, it's just like, I don't know, it's like I'm halfway full. And even if you get to full, what's wrong with overflow? What's wrong with abundance? Like,
exactly. That's what I was trying to say, though. Her perspective isn't wrong. That's another perspective for the same thing.
Yeah,
like you're always looking forward, and you're never going to see, like, you don't even know what to eat. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Right. That's what I'm doing. That's why I started off saying both sides are so powerful. I'm just trying to, like, put light to Asha's side also, because that side blew my mind away in the group chat, too, when you said, like, the sky is the limit. Like, what is full? Like, what is that? That's crazy to think about. And then the other side of, like, being halfway empty, that side, and then halfway full of just of striving and still wanting, so like just being in a place of abundance and being full and being able to give. Like I think of like giving and overflow, and when your cup runs over and you got the saucer, you can give with what you have in your saucer. You know what I mean? Like that's what I think of with halfway full, is I'm growing to that place of abundance within myself so that I can give to more people. So both sides are crazy to think about.
Both sides are arguable. So I remember my first full blessing. I remember my first blessing that my first blessing that I recognized. I put it that way. And it was when God had placed y'all mama in my life, and God gave me a blessing that ran over, and it's still running over to this day. And it's not only in the saucer that the cup is holding, I mean that the saucer holding the cup, but it's all over the table, it's all over the ground, it's all over my life, that I have been using that blessing and hadn't got close to the saucer yet, that's spilling over also. And if I can ever get to the cup where it was first poured by God, oh, my God, the sky is the limit. So I thank God for putting my wife in my life with the overflowing blessing. But I see things half empty, where I don't want to go to a place I was in life to be empty. So I never see it half full. The arguments is good on both sides, but I'll never see it half full because I didn't start off full.
Aww. You're so sweet. Well, my take is half full because I'm always I love giving and I love the overflow. I love the fullness of being full.
Your tank full.
Right. It's over. and if you get any of my cars, you already know. It's over full. It's going to stay on full. I don't care how high the gas gets. Okay? So I won't run out of gas so I can be a blessing to somebody else if they need to get somewhere. That's why I like to look at it as half full.
Now, talk about it.
Okay. But anyway, y'all stop picking on me. But yeah, I love the half full. I like to be half full because if you look at the empty, I don't like looking at anything empty. Not half. I mean, if it's halfway, the halfway mark. That's, I don't know. I'm not a good explainer. Y'all know that. But
I like both so much. That empty is like about growing and learning and never thinking that you're too, like that you're always humble. Like half empty give me humble vibes. Like I'm humble and I'm ready
right.
to learn
yeah.
and I'm seeking more. Yeah.
So to my kids, I don't think they have ever they can probably count on one hand since they've been living of when I've been stressed. They can probably count on one hand when I've been stressed. I may have fussed about something, but not stressed. You know, so I take things easy. And as my wife mentioned earlier, every victory can be, every situation can be won by the victory of Jesus Christ that's in you. And I don't worry a lot. I don't stress a lot. I just try to keep it moving, not let situations deter my walk. And then I look at, you know, when I'm half empty, where do I get my strength from to fill up? Where do I get my strength from to go back up to full? So the reason why we got on half empty or half full, because yesterday on our family thread, I just threw it out. I think we were talking about, you know, gas, you know, so I put out there with my family, and I'm, you know, when I'm half empty and I'm on the half mark, I fill it back up. Then it won't, oh, man. We can't go to empty, guys. We cannot go to empty. We cannot go back to where we started because it's going to be harder to get back where you was in the place with God. And so when we feel ourselves half empty, we turn to the Father. We turn to get more strength. We turn to get more energy to get back to where you was when you sin or when you fall back. But we all fall back. We all sin. But as long as we ask God for forgiveness and have it in our heart that we truly are remorseful, God will put us back in the place that we was. But you don't want to get empty to where, you know, it's a struggle to get back to where you were in the place with God. You know, we don't want to leave our first love, which is Jesus Christ. But when you get to the halfway mark, when you get to a part in your life where you just, you know, walk too far away, it don't take that much to get back at the halfway mark. Never go to empty. Never let your fullness leave you. But at the halfway point, when you find yourself that you deterred, that you aggravated with the situation or the struggle that you're in, when you get to that halfway point, then you'll start, you know, under half, you'll start believing in your own strength. But as you steer near God, you'll still believe and understand and remember that he brought you out of something else and can bring you back to in full standing with him. So I see stuff half empty because total emptiness is where you started in life. So half full, to me, I would never start it full. I started empty. So I know my place in life from where I was and where I am now. So we got a couple more minutes. We're going to have some final comments from anybody. If y'all can understand what I said, that's just me. So final comments.
Nope. God is good.
Okay. If y'all don't have any final comments, y'all want to shout out y'all businesses?
Vent Break on Instagram, VENTBREAK. Vent Break, yeah, I have an organization for mental health and spiritual awareness, getting closer to God, and we're all just here together growing and learning. And I just have a platform and an organization for everyone to do it together. So Vent Break, VENTBREAK.
And that is also on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesday mornings at 8 o'clock on the same number that you're on there. Pastor Tuffy, y'all got any final comments before we wrap up?
I guess not.
Rick, you got any final comments?
I do not. I just enjoyed it. Right. Thank Elder Oliver. Well, Thank our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, for choosing the Royal Blues to spread love, spread awareness, spread and help people just live their lives to the fullest, just love each other in situations that you're in. Just keep God, keep Christ first in your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I offer him to you on tonight. Romans 10:9-10 is ABC. Okay, it's not that hard. Just that's what you have to do is ask Christ to come into your life, ask, believe, confess that he's your personal Savior. He died on the cross and rose on the third day.
and ask him to forgive you for your sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. So I want to go back before we close out to a comment Aja made earlier on when we first came on the air. She said stages of life builds you. And so we have to, and that reminds me also of the gas tank, to give a reference to that. It's like when you're in your cars and you look at your gas, you know, whatever gas you have on your, what is it called, the gas needle, whatever it is. When you look at that, see what stage you're in. If you're full, three quarters, halfway, or just a quarter worth of gas, or on empty. Picture that as your life when you see that. You're going through something or where you may be at as far as your relationship with God. Think of that. Look at that gas needle. There you go, that gas needle. And let it remind you where you're actually at, because only you know where you're at with your relationship with God. Only you know where you're truly at with your relationship with God. And let that be a reminder where you need to get to. So when you half empty, you know what you need to do. Right? I can't say half full. I can't take that in. When you're half empty, determine where you need to be at on your next step, your next stop. So, yeah, it's true. Stages of life do build you if you allow it. You know, some people take, in one stage of our lives, one particular stage in our life can take longer than the next stage, right? But that's when we need to understand with wisdom that we're getting from the stages of life how to get through to the next stage and not to dwell in that stage. And some people have repeating stages in their life because they didn't take care of the business at hand while they were in that stage the first time, or the third, or the fifth, or the 12th time. Why do I always go through this? Because you didn't conquer the situation when you first had it, right? So think about that. Take that with you tonight. You know, why do I always go through this? Why do I always meet these awful men or women? Or why am I always abused by men or women? Why am I always going through this certain situation? Because you have not conquered it. And God loves to teach us before he moves us to the next stage. He wants us to thoroughly learn the situation that we're in, how he brings us out, and how we apply or how we interact in that situation to conquer it, right? So I want y'all to take that with you tonight, to all our listeners, even my own family, myself too. So, again, I want to thank Elder Oliver for the Chaos Block Talk radio platform. I hope somebody has gotten something out about what we were talking about tonight. Don't let situations hinder you. Don't let an empty tank hinder you. Don't let people that don't love you back hinder you. Keep doing what God wants you to do. Keep doing what God has put inside you to do. So, Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus for this platform. I thank you for Elder Oliver and his wife, Lady Kay, that you continue to bless them also, to have even a bigger platform. I thank my wife. I thank my kids. I thank my grandkids. I thank all of you that are listening, that we still have a portion of our health and strength, that we can still do things on the living side of life, that we thank God for every day, that we thank God for every night that we lay our head down, that he would raise us up the next morning. I thank God for just having a real family. I thank God for the support that we get. I thank God for each and every one of you that help us along the way. And may we help you along the way. And I thank God I thank God for everything. I thank him for every situation. I thank him for every issue. I thank you that because that way we build faith. We build faith to be stronger on the next situation. But the situations and trials and tribulations are going to happen as long as we're living. But we have to learn from the trials and tribulations for the next step, right? It gets easier, and I'm an older person. I can tell you now, thank God for it. It gets easier as you grow. It gets easier the older you get. It gets easier because you know more of how God works for you in every situation, how he was always there and he brought you out. It gets easier. I'm not saying that the devil will not try, but God will show you that the devil is coming the older you get. He's coming. Prepare you to handle that situation. Father God, I just thank you for the intuition. I thank you for showing me things. I thank you for let me stop. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. And that's our episode for tonight from the Royal Blues, the Bluette family. And hopefully, if God be willing, we can be on next week and try to help somebody. In the name of Jesus, amen and good night.
Amen. Good night.